This is Morning Edition. I'm Eric Hodge. February marks the two-year anniversary of the Dan River coal ash spill. On that Super Bowl Sunday, nearly 40,000 tons of coal ash broke through a storm pipe and flowed into the river. Since then, the General Assembly has passed one of the most aggressive coal ash cleanup laws in the country. But many of the plans detailed in the Coal Ash Management Act have stalled due to legal infighting and regulatory delays. As Dave DeWitt reports, coal ash is finally getting moved, but not soon enough for some homeowners.
Duke Energy is the largest electric utility in the country, with nearly $25 billion in annual operating revenue. And on this cold, blustery day at its Dan River site, that corporate power is on display. Massive machines, 40-ton trucks, front-end loaders, and bulldozers, are moving in perfect synchronization, loading coal ash and soil into rail cars. Jeff Brooks is a spokesman for Duke Energy.
This is priority one for Duke Energy right now. This is the most important thing that many of us have worked on for several years now. And we have an army of engineers and technical staff that have developed the closure plans for these sites.
Brooks is standing just a few yards from the site of the broken storm pipe that started it all 2 years ago. He promises this site will be cleaned up by the 2019 deadline. In some form, this excavation process will eventually happen at most of Duke Energy's 14 coal ash facilities in the state. An important step happened this past New Year's Eve. That's when the Department of Environmental Quality rated each site by risk level. Dan River and three other sites are rated high risk and must be excavated by 2019. But those that are rated intermediate or low are seeing significant permitting delays. Brooks is careful to downplay the company's frustration.
Everybody's trying to meet aggressive deadlines here. We're all trying to do the best work that we can, and sometimes that gets bogged down in regulatory space, but our all shared goal is to try to meet these goals together.
Okay, if we can bring the meeting to order.
The regulatory space surrounding coal ash only comes out into the open on occasion, and one of those happened last week at the General Assembly's Environmental Review Commission. Tom Reeder, an assistant secretary at the Department of Environmental Quality, gave an update to lawmakers. And he was not shy about where the blame for the delays should be placed, the Federal Environmental Protection Agency.
For some reason, and I don't know why, EPA doesn't seem to share our sense of urgency in pursuing these matters. So we're rethinking this whole thing. We may just take unilateral action without EPA anymore because they just don't seem to think this is important for some reason.
The EPA must sign off on permits granted by the state, and to Reeder's dismay, he says that isn't happening quickly enough. Reeder also blasted the media and the Southern Environmental Law Center for contributing to misinformation and delays. Lawmakers, most of them Republican, nodded in agreement. Frank Holloman sat in the back of the room and listened carefully. He's a senior attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center, and he offered a different assessment.
Duke Energy's had a lot of problems, and of course they have admitted that they committed 9 coal ash crimes across the state and are now on criminal probation. But amazingly, as hard as it is to believe, they've been more willing to do cleanups and to address issues than DEQ.
The bureaucratic quagmire is just one of the factors contributing to delays. A legal fight between the governor and the General Assembly leadership in his own party has halted the work of the commission created to oversee the coal ash cleanup process. Much of the current scientific concern is focused on two elements, chromium-6 and vanadium. They're both found naturally in soil. In high concentrations, like in coal ash, they're also carcinogens. Reeder, with DEQ, downplayed the threat to those who live near coal ash pits. In his presentation to legislators, he reached behind him and grabbed a glass of water from the lectern.
That water in there probably has chromium or vanadium in it that would exceed the DHHS screening levels. DHHS was just trying to point out the risk to people inherent in some of these things.
DHHS, or the State Department of Health and Human Services, pointed out the threat with a letter to 400 or so homeowners last year. Homeowners like Deborah Graham. She lives in Salisbury in the shadow of Duke Energy's Buck Steam Station and its coal ash pits. When she got the letter saying her well water was contaminated, she says she literally spit out the coffee she had just made with water from her tap.
And I thought of all the food I had cooked for my children who are now grown. I thought about all the food I had cooked and took up to the church. I thought about what I had made for supper last night. We look at our faucet, we look at fear.
Deborah's friend, Amy Brown, lives in Belmont, just west of Charlotte. She can see the smokestack rising above the Allen steam plant from the back deck of her brick ranch house. Duke Energy is voluntarily providing free bottled water to households like theirs. The company says their own tests show the contamination is not from their unlined coal ash basins. That's of little consolation to Brown as she turns on the water in her kitchen sink.
After we know what we know now, how can we freely use this water and not be concerned about it?
In a preliminary report, DEQ classified the Allen coal ash pits and several others as high risk. But on New Year's Eve, the agency said it did not have enough information to classify those basins, so it created a new category, low intermediate. Last week, in Raleigh, legislators expressed their empathy for homeowners, but several also seemed to indicate that they are open to giving DEQ more time to complete its assessments and Duke Energy more time to eventually move the ash. Representative Jimmy Dixon chairs the Environmental Review Commission.
If a little more time in on a certain thing, I don't think that you should feel bad about saying this is too aggressive. That's just my opinion.
Back in her living room in Belmont, Amy Brown doesn't want to hear about more delays. The stacks of bottled water rise 6 feet high and fill every corner of her house. Her family is adapting. It takes one bottle to make grits in the morning, two to make mac and cheese for lunch. Best case scenario, the coal ash outside her back door will be dealt with in 8 years. Worst case, it takes much longer. That means her two sons will spend almost their entire childhoods without being able to drink the water that comes out of their tap.
You know, we want to be comfortable in our home again. I just want for Duke Energy, DEQ, our governor, to help me get my peace of mind back.
Dave DeWitt, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.